Hello everybody, it's me Roscoe, and welcome to another Kings of Anglia Fan Social, the show where the Cowboy Army share their thoughts on all things town, and it's a big one, it's a special one, as we're building up to the East Anglian Derby this weekend at Carroll Road. I'm joined by two fine gentlemen, in the King of North, John Watson, and the one and only Bloomers. We'll be joined by AJ Alex Jones later on in the show to build up even further into the derby. But yeah, what a night on Monday. Dramatic scenes. I think we've just about got over that, haven't we, ladies and gentlemen? And we've got to get ready now for another, you know, roller coaster of emotions at Carroll Road. But let's bring in the boys. Let's start with good old King of North, John Watson. Always a pleasure to see you. How's things?
Thanks for having me on, Ross. Good to see you. Good to see Bloomers. It's nice to be here. Oh my word, what a week we've had. What a, well, a whole Easter weekend. I'm feeling a tad apprehensive, a tad nervous, equally excited too as well. So yeah, it's been a brilliant few weeks, hasn't it? And Monday night was one of the very best. So we should really be feeling some confidence, but it's a funny old thing going into a local derby, isn't it?
Yeah, it is indeed. And a little peek behind the curtain, ladies and gentlemen. I'm actually already crossed the border. I'm actually now in Norwich, just in hiding. Shout out to Tony Southgate and the team at Ginger Pickle, who used to sponsor the podcast. He's actually sitting right next to me over there, just making sure I'm, you know, being sensible and saying the right things. But yeah, currently across the border. But yeah, can't wait for it. But Bloomers, always a pleasure to see you. I had to rush back home yourself. How are you?
Yeah, very good. I'm still slightly out of breath after that madcap commute back to Balham, but I made it with minus 30 seconds to spare. Really good. Really good to see you, King of the North, and you, Roscoe. I wasn't one of the lucky 29,000 who was there on Monday. One of the privileged souls to have a ticket on resale got my lowered Bobby ticket and probably had the time of his or her life. Not that I'm jealous. I'm slightly jealous, but look, I'll miss every other game for the rest of the season if it means we win all of them. So amazing to watch the game on TV. And yeah, there's a bit of an ominous feeling about tomorrow, but it will soon be dissipated once the game gets underway and we play the way we've been playing. So, you know, bring it on. You've got to have some confidence, and I'm sure we'll get right into the Derby Day discussion. There's plenty of talking points to be had.
Yeah, plenty of talking points, my friend. Of course, we're live on all platforms. Get involved in the comments, share your thoughts as always. If you're listening on the day of the derby, then why have you not joined us live? Make sure to join us live every Friday. But if you are listening on the day of the derby, I hope you enjoy. And we're going to quickly just talk about Monday quickly, boys, because we can't not continue to talk about it. And as standard, I'll do my little features. Normally it's one word, but I thought three words or less on the Easter weekend as a whole. You know, two wins. Town, by the way, on top of the league, top of the championship, which is we just never thought would have happened when we were, you know, started this season. When we won at Sunderland, we thought, oh, what a win that was. But now we're top of the league with six games left to go. John, what is your sort of three words or less?
Well, it was so hard to come up with a summary because the Friday to Monday was two very different feelings. You know, it was two very different games. So overall, I'll just say six massive points, because that's what they were, six massive points. But if you ask me just how I was feeling at the end of Monday, it was wow, just wow. So I couldn't decide between six massive points or wow, just wow. But, you know, the third option was dare to dream, because that, when we got those 6 points, you start thinking, could it possibly, could we? And I tried to stay quite calm and level, but, you know, two very different performances against very different sides. Massive 6 points. So six massive points, I think I'll go with.
I like it. I like it. Bloomers, yeah, you sadly weren't at the game on Monday, but you can sort of still enjoy the moment and, you know, Jeremy Sarmiento, what a moment, what a way to win a game from being 2-1 down as well. Yeah, what is your three words or less?
I think my three words, one said by Sir Alex Ferguson after they beat Bayern Munich in the Champions League final, simply, football bloody hell. I think it sums up it perfectly. I mean, how we won that game, I'll never, ever know. But look, at this time of the season, it doesn't really matter how you win, to be honest, so long as we do. And yeah, to go top of the league with six games to go is mind-blowing. The job's not finished, and we've got some tough games to go. And you know, tomorrow is probably the hardest of the lot. But I think I had a very impassioned speech that I gave to you after the Bristol City win on that Tuesday or Wednesday night, where I sort of basically just let out a battle cry explaining that this team never gives up. And there's no finer display of that than what happened on Monday. There's a team there that looked, if not dead to rights, they certainly looked very much stuck in neutral. And then to get the equaliser and not just rest on that and keep going and score a winner that, well, put it this way, for people my sort of age, I mean, that Richard Chaplow winner at Watford 9 years ago is probably one of the most dramatic, you know, 1-0 or winning goal last minute ones that I can remember. And, you know, we still play it every single year. That goal from Sarmiento is going to be played for years to come, regardless of what happens the rest of the season. Hopefully it's going to be the one that goes alongside the videos of us winning tomorrow. And if not winning promotion automatically, then doing something special in the playoffs. But as a pure moment on its own, I think it's going to take some topping. I think it's something that will stick with everyone who was there, and obviously everyone who was watching on TV as well. And look, it just goes to show that this team have such mental resilience, and it's something that's going to be needed in spades for tomorrow's game, not least. But 6 points over that Easter period, the other two teams that going for automatic promotion didn't get it, or three teams at the time with Southampton. And there's no reason to fear anything, but we're Ipswich fans, so we're going to fear quite a few things between now and the end of the season.
Yeah, indeed. 100 people joining us, so welcome everyone to the show. Good to see you. But yeah, John, sort of perfect way to sort of segue into the derby, my friend. I think the last derby, we had the Watford, so it wasn't as dramatic, but Sam Worsley, of course, scored a late goal in that game to, you know, clinch the win away from home. This one, obviously, we won at home, and then now we're going to an away game, but we haven't had an opportunity really to breathe, have we? Because we've had the Easter weekend, and then we've gone straight into the derby. But so how are you feeling, my friend? What's your current feeling, you know, knowing it's now less than 24 hours until the derby?
Bonkers. A little bit like Sue was saying on the main pod, on Monday night, by the time I got back up to Doncaster, it was 11:30, 12:00 or whatever, and I woke the family up by singing about his magic, you know. Wasn't too popular in my house, but I spent most of Tuesday, like most Ipswich fans, lucky I was actually off work, but I spent most of Tuesday re-watching various angles of the crowd, of the goal, of all of the moments from that game, because it was bonkers. So in some ways, having the time to soak it up meant Monday was even more significant, which was brilliant. Having said that, because I've been off work all week, it got to about Wednesday lunchtime, and I suddenly went, oh, I've got to start thinking about the derby game, you know. And I've spent probably a bit too much time thinking about it and starting to worry about it. So it's been a funny all week, from that real high of Monday night, that, you know, standing outside Portman Road and everybody's still singing, to driving home, thinking about it, listening to Kieran McKenna's comments after the game, how level-headed he is, how brilliant he is. Just really excited during the week. And then as the weeks ticked on, I've started getting a bit more nervous, a bit more worried. And I go from being really confident and about not fearing anything and thinking, if we just go and do what we always do, more often than not, we'll come out on top. And then you start thinking, oh, it's not that easy. I've been through lots of torture before. So, I'm feeling totally mixed, like a washing machine of emotions on full spin at the moment. John, a bit of everything going on.
John, did you have the same kind of week that I had, where basically Tuesday was, let's just watch the highlights 100 times. Wednesday was, let's watch the highlights maybe just 40 times, not 100 times. And then Thursday, you start thinking about it, but I was actually, you know, don't feel that nervous. And then today, woke up this morning and it's just hit me like a ton of bricks.
Yeah, exactly that, Bloomers. Exactly that, mate. And I think the more, as each kind of hour goes past the Southampton game, you have to leave that behind. And, you know, that's the right thing to do. And you start thinking about what's to come. So that's natural, I suppose. But I think Kieran McKenna, as always, pitches things so brilliantly, though, doesn't he? Because he was saying on Monday night that the fans should enjoy these moments. And I think that's brilliant because it's true. We have to enjoy those moments. We've had so much rubbish over the years. It's so nice to be coming out on those small margins. And, you know, none of us were said, oh, we outplayed Southampton and we deserve to win that game because we were the better side. But, you know, linking it back to Norwich, when we played Norwich earlier on in the season, we were far the better side and we came out level. And actually, we should have won that game. So when you talk about balance over the season, does it go ebb and flow? Does it balance out? I like to think it does. So maybe we've earned that little bit because we are lucky old Ipswich, as everybody keeps saying at the moment. So, you know, that just that mixture of emotions. But talking about it, got my blue shirt behind us. I'm getting quite excited, to be honest.
Yeah, your backdrop is putting mine to shame, I'm afraid. If I'd have had time to come through the door, I might have done something different. But look, it's one of those where the game in December almost affects this in a way that I think if you spoke to the vast majority of Ipswich fans now, a point in isolation, oh, I can't believe I'm going to say this, a point in isolation probably wouldn't feel like the worst thing. It's the fact that it's been so long. December was a chance to put that silly hoodoo to rest, but it didn't happen. And because of that, and that hoodoo is still there, or we still talk about it, the fact that it's been so long, people don't want to settle for a point tomorrow because it's that win will just take everything off. I honestly think if we win tomorrow, you'll go from, I don't know, maybe 30 or 40% of the current Ipswich fan base thinking we'll get top two. I'm literally, that's just my guess. I'm not putting words in people's mouths. If we win tomorrow, that number is going to go to like 80%. Do you know what I mean? I think, I believe myself personally, if we win tomorrow, that could be the one that gets it over the line mathematically. It takes away that roadblock that's in everyone's mind. Sorry, I'm getting overshadowed here. Just as a quick aside, if you're watching this, not watching this, and you're listening to this, my cat is currently climbing all over me. He's making his fifth appearance on this.
Yeah, excited for the game.
Balaam the black cat. Every time that he has appeared, we've never lost the game afterwards. Ooh. Just FYI. So this This is a good omen. He's a Sunderland fan. He's a Sunderland fan. So don't talk to him about the first game of the season.
Sunderland fan.
He's like that, isn't he, Ross?
Oh, yeah, of course. All right. Yeah, all right. Fair play. I've got another question, actually. It sort of worked, and it's a hard question to answer, really. But this is from JN. I don't know if it could be another John. John, you know, it could be anybody. Let us know, the JN on Twitter. But he's asked us this. Would you rather we beat Norwich and end up in the playoffs or lose and go up automatically? I think we've been asked this many times before. Right.
Okay, I've got a very strong stance on this, so I'm happy to kick this off. If you have to think about this for more than a second, you're already overthinking it. Lose and go up automatically. I couldn't give a stuff. Yeah. If we lost tomorrow, but someone guarantees me that we go up automatically. And I don't know why you would, because there is much more to life than a rivalry or a derby or whatever. We'll set this club up in the Premier League with all the money that goes with it, which is something we haven't had in 23 years, 22 years since we last were in the Premier League. Yeah, the parachute payments that go with it, if the worst ever happened after that. And, you know, it's something that our neighbours have had 3, 4, 5 times over. And you know what I mean? It's not irrelevant if we lost and then went up automatically, because obviously it would still sting. And, you know, if you told anyone outside Carrow Road in the away end at 2 o'clock tomorrow that it doesn't matter if you've lost, obviously it does. But anyone that would rather beat Norwich and not go up, I think I can't see the wood for the trees, in my personal opinion. And actually, do you know what? This is a very interesting question. John, being someone who isn't from Suffolk and has found their love of Ipswich from another means, by the way, it's a great story. So if we've got time in this podcast, I know you've said that about 10 times before, but please do say it again. How do you approach these? I can't, because I'm Suffolk born and bred. I'd probably see it a different way to you, but how do you feel? Because obviously, I don't imagine there are many Norwich fans up in the Northeast growing up as there were Ipswich fans.
No, it's a really interesting point because I guess now I'm a little bit closer living in Doncaster rather than Sunderland, obviously, and I've got my season ticket. I come a hell of a lot more because finances, job allows that, whatever. I've always travelled to see the games, and I was saying to Ross earlier on that I watched more Derby games on Sky than I've seen in real life, because when Ipswich were on Sky, I wouldn't go and travel because I could watch them on Sky. I would choose a game that wasn't on Sky to come down to. So I guess the nearest thing for me is, and it sounds really silly because it's not a local Derby, but I feel maybe like some of you guys feel when Sunderland play Ipswich or Ipswich play Sunderland, because I've got more mates who message me out of the blue about my football team who normally don't care what Ipswich do, but will suddenly start heckling me if Sunderland beat us or whatever. So I get some of the same banter and some of the same emotions from a Sunderland-Ipswich game. You know, it's not the same because it's like 280 miles away from each other, so it's not a derby, but that's my equivalent, my hometown versus Ipswich, if you like, because as a kid growing up, I wanted to be able to like hold my head up high at school without getting loads of abuse and stuff like that. So, but it's funny, the more time I spend with people like yourselves at the game, the more that matters even more, because I know more people who are true Ipswich fans, you know, so it's a funny one for me. It's I maybe haven't got the same hatred or rivalry as lots of other Ipswich fans have towards Norwich. They're, perhaps I'd be better off just saying they're less relevant to me. I'm quite nonchalant about them. Although saying that, I'm so tense about tomorrow. It's unbelievable. So,
well, if we were playing Rotherham tomorrow, I'd be tense, like just in the way the position that we're in. Do you know what I mean? But I think here's the thing that makes it unique, and no one's going to be listening to this to aren't Ipswich fans, sadly. Maybe a couple of Norwich fans are listening to this for perverse reasons.
There's a few. There's someone in Arthur in the chat who's saying some stuff about Norwich.
Maybe there's a few Norwich fans that listen to this for perverse reasons, but I think they're going to agree with me, actually, from what I'm about to say next. The thing that makes this so personal, I'll say personal, that makes it, this was what makes it a derby, and the rest of the country probably don't understand this. It's so deep-seated because actually I have no friends that are Norwich fans. I have no family that are Norwich fans. I barely know any Norwich fans. I used to work with a Norwich fan and that was enough. I don't need any more in my life than that. The Suffolk and Norfolk thing geographically is huge, because it's not just the fact that, oh, it's a city where you've got two teams in there and you know, you're all friends one weekend, and, or you know a load of, you know, fans of the other team, and then for one day you'll pretend to hate each other and then you go back to whatever. Norwich fans don't come into my life and most Ipswich fans' lives very often. I don't see them. I don't want to see them. I don't talk about them. And Norfolk and Suffolk, you've got one team from each county in their respective counties. You know, if you're born in Suffolk and you're a true supporter, I don't mean that, but like, you know, you support your local team, you're going to support Ipswich. If you're born in Norfolk, you're going to support Norwich because there's no other team. So for that whole 6 months of the year, you don't see them or whatever else. And then it's one day, game a year where you do. And all that pent up frustration, all of the Norfolk and Suffolk jibes, because, you know, for me, again, and for most Ipswich fans, there does seem to be a Norfolk is a better county bias from media, from their own self-inflated sense of importance, which I think is complete nonsense. And that's not to go with all the history and everything that goes with it. It's so much more than just these two teams. And I don't think people understand that coming outside of the counties. I can't stand them. And you can clip that. I have no problem with you clipping that. And I'm sure that Norwich fans agree with what I'm saying. Maybe not the bias stuff, but everything else. So that's what makes it so personal. And I was there for 2015, 16, 17, 18, 19, all these fallow years and all these times of not winning. And it's been five visits I've had in the last 10 years to Carrow Road without seeing a win. And that's without any of the home games. So that's what makes it so important. And for just one player to break through and score the winner, they're going to be remembered for decades to come. Just like the way that we remember Alex Mathey, who just popped up from that person's message, and Danny Haynes and everything else. And Norwich fans have, you know, Grant Holt and whoever else they...
And spoiler bloomers for a feature later on, Derby Day Hero. That's going to be a question.
Right, that's it. And I know the players realise that, and McKenna realises that. And I think we all feel it. The way that we've approached this game has been brilliant from McKenna's side, realising to take the sting out of it. But look, it'd be a lot more boring in the world for Ipswich Town fans and Norwich City fans if this game didn't exist. So we have to embrace it for what it is, but we also have to keep that chip on our shoulder because, you know, these games are pretty special. So bring it on.
Yeah, especially the current positions we're both in at the moment. This is the biggest derby, you know, a long time. Obviously, the playoff games were massive back in 2014-15, but this one just feels extra big, especially because the record against him is not great. I won't bring that up anymore because we already know it's bad. But I want to quickly get your personal memories, boys, on the derby itself. I know, John, you say you haven't been able to get to many, but what's the one that really stands out, and what was your first ever derby? Can you remember?
Well, when I first started supporting Town was literally when Ipswich got beaten by Norwich over two legs in the Milk Cup semi-final, the League Cup, when it was called the Milk Cup in 1985, it would have been. So my start of supporting Town was that very week. I happened to see some bits of that. And then they played Sunderland, where I was living. Norwich played Sunderland in the final and beat Sunderland 1-0 on an own goal, I think, and Sunderland missed the penalty, if I remember. And I started supporting Ipswich when I was 10 years old in 1985, 9 years old, turning 10. And that was the start of it. So my very first memory of a derby game was a two-legged defeat. That's not a particularly great start, but I guess through the years, there's not been that many highlights in derby games. You know, clearly that Alex Mathey hat-trick is the real bright spark for me. But I think about little moments in the derby games, whether it's like Lambeau doing his honey badger falling out with Farker, and Big Mick giving it large when, you know, yeah. I mean, while we're talking about Big Mick, I just need to say, I know he gets some stick, and there was a bit of kind of grief about Mick being there the other night, on Monday night, actually. But if we all look back, Mick deserves a lot of respect because he did so well with so little, and we think about how much the club is well run now and how many departments are there and how many different people. If Mick had some of that and some of the backing, Mick would have been a much better manager. You know, so I think Mick does, although it was sour by the end, you know, I stood on many a terrace singing Mick Mac and Terry Connor over and over again and always supported him. Anyway, I've gone off on a tangent. Just need to give a bit of respect to Big Mick's name.
I agree. I just think
That derby game though brings back the memories of Big Mick. So I haven't got one huge game that is the memory, if you like. It's lots of little bits. Lots of them aren't very positive. I remember sitting alone in a pub in Lincoln watching the playoff semi-final defeat.
Let me give some positivity then. Just quickly to go, Mick McCarthy, anyone who didn't like was funny about Mick McCarthy being there Monday, that's weird. Don't be like that. And I think the current ownership is going to put Mick in such a more positive light day by day, because you can see the struggles now in plain sight from what he was doing with the old ownership. We probably didn't realize how bad it was at the time. So his stock should go up from the job that he did. And I didn't see it at the time, especially at the end because of how poisonous it was, but you know, it's all a footnote now, and we can all laugh about it, you know, hopefully next year when we're getting tonked 6-0 by Man City. To go with positive moments, I mean, the first derby I ever went to or remember was the 2002 one, 1-1, where Kanyago scored in the 90th minute off the penalty missed by Darren Bent. I've never seen a crowd go as wild as that until I watched the North Stand on Monday on TV, going that wild, and Sarmiento scored. Danny Haynes on three separate occasions. I was there for the first time we beat Norwich. From my sort of like growing up memories was that 2006-7-1, we won 3-1. And then the away game at Carrow Road where he blatantly, in fact, he definitely handballed it in, because I remember a few weeks after that, I was only about 12, I actually spoke to Danny Haynes when he was warming up before a game at Portman Road and said to him, "Did you handball it in?" And he didn't say anything. He just went like that and walked away. So he definitely handballed it in. Could you imagine if Twitter was around when that had happened? Like, how brilliant that was. But I mean, look, the Anderson goal and the Tommy Smith goal in the playoffs, the Knudsen goal times two. Yeah, I've been there for all of those. I don't want to put too much shine on them because in they didn't win. So, you know, they were great little moments in isolation, but they mean nothing in the grand scheme of things. Conor Chaplin said himself actually in the press match conference yesterday or the other day that, you know, a goal that he scores is great, but if it that means the team doesn't win, then it doesn't really mean anything in the grand scheme of things. So I completely agree with him on that. Like, I don't think that Wes Burns and Nathan Broadhead are busy like idolizing about the goals they scored in December because we didn't win the game. It's going to be so much different if someone scores a winner on Saturday tomorrow, and I you know, pray to God and believe that someone will.
Yeah, we do hope that. And yeah, I've got not many memories, to be fair, boys, of the derby. Obviously bringing the staff again, I said I wasn't going to bring up, but 2009, that's probably one of my highlights because obviously we won 3-2, you know, Giovanni Dos Santos doing his great stuff, Alan Quinn goal, John Stead taking his shirt off and celebrating. But there's not been many others. I think, yeah, Jonas Nilsson, I know it was a draw in the end, but him scoring at Carrow Road, I remember being at away end and me and a few mates are just like, yeah, just bundling together and just really enjoyed that. And yeah, even though they're not wins, they're still goals and moments. You know, as you mentioned, Bloomers, the Paul Anderson goal at Portman Road, that was probably the loudest I've heard Portman Road until Monday, because that was unbelievable scenes, obviously. In the end, we didn't win. And you mentioned Tommy Smith's goal. That was a moment where we thought, oh, we could do this. And then, no, Crystal Berry got sent off and obviously we lost. But yeah, not many good memories, but you always got to look back at old stuff, don't you? And I was only 2 years old when Alex Matthews scored his hat-trick, but they're just so many good. You know, that's a good thing about a derby. You know, any derby, they've always got different moments, obviously, with scenes and bad defeats over the time. But
I remember singing about Jason Dizelle when he scored at Brace, didn't he? 93, I think it was, when we beat them 3-1. We won in 92 as well, 2-0 at their place, I think. So, you know, there are victories there. We just need one in the... one tomorrow to kind of get back into our
game. As soon as we get one, we're just going to look back and laugh at this like stupid little fallow period because it's such an anomaly. It almost can't be true. So as soon as one happens, we can all laugh about it, and the natural balance of power will be completely and utterly restored. So, you know, let's pray it's tomorrow, and then we also get promoted, and this can just be a little funny footnote, like the time we drew 0-0 away at Bristol Rovers last season. Or drew 1-1 at home to Fleetwood last season. Oh. Or drew 0 or whatever else we did. You know, or drew 4-4 against Charlton away last season. That took some years off my life. Also, can you just bring up that comment you had from the guy called Ian? Can you just bring that up again? We didn't actually mention it.
Bring up Ian.
Ian Stocks on Facebook said, "I support Ipswich Town since I was 13, going to be 53, born and bred in Norwich." Ian, I'm not sure how that happened, but... congratulations to you, mate. It's good to see that people can survive. In fact, I've got time at the end. I'll explain my little now funny story about the way that suddenly Norwich City is a little bit more in my life than it was before. But yeah, let's move on for now.
Yeah, definitely. We'll get onto that later. And we're joined by 200 plus people, which is good. And we're also going to be now joined by one of the other kings, Alex Jones, part of the Young Guns. He's down here smiling. How long do I keep him there? Although he can actually bring himself in automatically. So I'm going to bring him in. But let's bring AJ in. My friend, great to be joined by you. How are you?
Great to be here. Yeah, I was wondering if you were going to leave me hanging out there for a while. 53, been town since 13, born and bred in Norwich. That's quite a story. That was one of the first bits I heard as I came in here. Wow. Fair enough. Yeah, also coming straight into here, recalling stories of the 0-0 draw against Bristol Rovers and the Charlton game was maybe not what I expected in terms of like the pre-Norwich build-up. But yeah, glad to be here.
Good, oh, good to see you, AJ. Good to see you. And you've joined us when we're about to do the strike.
Oh, nice.
So chance for you to test your knowledge and also John and Bloomers as well. It's probably the first time, John Bloomers, you've sort of seen AJ. So any questions for AJ?
Oh, God.
How are you settling?
Really good. Yeah, I think that everyone talks about like these dark, depressing days of following town, supporting town, covering town, whatever. And I've just kind of come in and just won everything. So I feel like I've missed a lot of what I'm supposed to have experienced as well. Like, we were on the pod today, Stu was talking about, like, oh yeah, these heavy defeats. There was the 1-1 draw where close equalising stoppage time, the playoffs, all those kind of things. And I'm just sitting here thinking, it's a bit rubbish when they lost to West Brom back in November. So it's a bit weird. How the other half live, eh?
The beauty of the thing that Ross has been doing with us for the last 3 years now is that you've got a bank of videos to watch. As maybe some required reading. Go and listen to some of the video pods from about 3 years ago, just before the takeover.
My favourite one
so much more miserable.
was I went back and I listened to the full thing. It was the one where Blue Action, it was the whole protest one outside. It was basically about five different things happened. I think that there was, I think that was the week of the 0-0 draw at home to Northampton. I went back and listened to that and wow, that was quite bleak listening. So definitely chalk and cheese compared to what we've got at the moment.
Yeah, it's been amazing, boys. And yeah, six big games left to go. But let's do the strike. Let's see who's going to be the king of the strike. I know AJ got disadvantage here, but there's a lot of, you know, multiple choice, a lot of shot in the darks. So we shall see. They're all linked up to, of course, a derby slash birthdays. That's what I do on the strike, obviously. Question one, maybe a bit of a tricky one for you, AJ. Maybe Bloomers as well. I think that's before your time. But he celebrated his 60th birthday yesterday. And AJ, I think you actually may have edited this piece for me. So you should.
Oh, no.
So you should maybe know this. So obviously, I did a story yesterday looking at Frank Gallup's time. And obviously, you quickly just double check to see if I've got any good, if I don't have any spelling mistakes and make sure it's grammarly, you know, correct. But yeah, Frank Gallup, 60th birthday. He is the current head coach at which USL Championship side? Is at Rhode Island, Monterey Bay, or FC Tulsa? So Frank Gallup's 60th birthday, of course.
Can I just do this like an ABC kind of thing?
Yeah, ABC, whatever you want. Because yeah, there's a lot of words there. Of course, everyone play at home. Tony, in the office, play at home as well. Get involved. Let us know.
I ain't got a pen and paper, so for fairness, I will say mine before anyone else. Which
I like
so I can't be accused of cheating. Right, I'll go for Rhode Island.
Rhode Island. John?
Done the same, Rhode Island.
Rhode Island. AJ?
I've gone B, Monterey Bay.
Monterey B. Well, I'm just having a little look quickly over Tony's. He's going to show me his. Tony Southgate. You could just said B. And he's gone Monterey Bay, and he is correct. So it is 1-0 to AJ, 1-0 to Tony as well in the office. So there we go, 1-0. Mark Wall's gone B. I think he said that. He put that in just about time, so I'll allow it, Mark. But there we go. Question two is on a man who's going to be celebrating his birthday tomorrow. And that is Mark Venus, of course, right-hand man to Tony Mowbray. Obviously, he's still coaching alongside Guy Rowett, isn't he, I think?
No, he's not. He's taken a leave of absence alongside, yeah.
But yeah, get well soon to Tony. And yeah, good old Mark Venus. And yeah, has his birthday tomorrow. Hopefully, he'll be celebrating a town win. But yeah, where was he born, though, boys? Was he born in which northeast town? Is it Darlington, Gateshead, or Hartlepool? Uh-huh. And John has got the advantage here because he is from the northeast. So, yeah, which northeast town was Mark Venus born in? Darlington, Gateshead, or Hartlepool? He actually played for one of these teams. He actually started his career at one of these teams. So that maybe gives you a little bit of advantage. But yeah, Darlington, Gateshead, or Hartlepool? A, B, or C for people doing A, B, or C.
So, all right. Okay. I'll go for Darlington. We'll let John go at the end because he clearly knows it.
AJ, what do you reckon?
I have gone A, Darlington.
Gone A. John gone.
Hartlepool, he's a monkey hanger.
See, Hartlepool. Yeah, he is. It is C. And Tony Southgate as well. Yes. He's gone for C as well. So there we go. Mark in the chat. There we go. He's gone for C as well. So John makes it 1-1-0 Bloomers.
It's not looking good. It's not looking good, bruv.
It's fine. It's fine. Question three is a current one, and it is from the last derby back in December, and it's on Nathan Broadhead. In what minute did Nathan Broadhead score the opener against Norwich? Was it 28, 34, or 37?
I thought you were going to say how many chances did he miss?
Oh,
bless him.
Bless him, bless him. He tried, did he? He tried. But yeah, he could have been a hat-trick hero on the day.
I love you. Prove me wrong, Sadding.
Yeah, pretty much, pretty much.
It's his birthday today. We're just sat here.
Oh, it's his birthday as well. Happy birthday, Broadhead. Yes, Nathan Broadhead's birthday as well today. That's why I did the question, but also it actually worked perfectly because he scored in the derby. But yeah, what minutes did he score? Charlie Sentfield's gone 34, just to bring that out. But yeah, what do you reckon, boys? Tony's gone 28.
No, I think I'm going to go 34, but I'm not confident.
Okay, 34.
Confident 34.
Oh, you're all gone 34. Tony went 28. 34. The correct answer is 34. So a point goes to all of you. Just not Tony, unfortunately. But yeah, it's 2-1 going into question four. Interesting. Mark Ball went A. So sorry, Mark, we were wrong there. Your first incorrect answer. Question four is on a man who I mentioned actually earlier in the podcast with one of the memories who took his shirt off and celebrated. And that is John Stead, who celebrates his birthday on Sunday. And we've got Ziggy on the camera. Love to see that, John. Good old Ziggy.
It's an animal heavy video pod today.
Pretty much, pretty much. But yeah, John Stead celebrates his birthday on Sunday, of course, scored against Norwich in the past. And he's the current assistant manager at which League One side? Is that Barnsley, Fleetwood Town or Oxford United? John Stead, assistant manager of this team. He was actually in America coaching as an assistant manager to that person as well. But yeah, Fleetwood, Barnsley or Oxford United. John Stead. Yeah, good goal he scored. That was a good goal. Make it 3-1. I think then Norris did get a consolation. 250 people are joining us, by the way. Love to see that.
You know who scored that consolation, I believe, without checking on this?
No idea.
Alan Lee.
No, I don't think he didn't score. Surely not.
I'm gonna
we need a fact check for that. I'm sorry. I know he played in that game. He definitely played in that game, Alan Lee, but I don't know. I don't think he scored the winner or the consolation.
No, and also, I'm completely wrong, which is why I'm doing so badly on the strike quiz.
There we go. And we move on. What do you reckon then, boys? What do you think the answer is, Tony?
Oh, I'm going to go for Barnsley. Just very northern-centric here.
Barnsley. Yeah.
You gave the swan away, Ross, because you said he was assistant in the US. Now,
yeah.
Charlie Adam at Fleetwood has not managed in the US. Des Buckingham came from India, I believe.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So I had a slight feeling that it was going to be Barnsley. Yeah.
Yeah, it is Barnsley. So you're all right in this room and also Tony there as well. So well done. So that is now 3-2 Bloomers. This is question five. And you may have potential of this advantage here. We'll see.
Advantage.
I think advantage, maybe.
Advantage.
Okay. AJ will have no idea. So sorry, AJ.
Damn it.
John, maybe. It depends if you like your squad numbers. And we're going back to this Frenchman, Jimmy Guan, who scored a free kick against Norwich back in 2006. It deflected a little bit, but he scored it and celebrated it, obviously, to make it, I think it was an equaliser, actually. I think Norwich to the lead 1-1, and then Danny Haynes, obviously, own goal. But yeah, what squad number did Jimmy Guan wear at Town? 12, 19 or 24 on loan from Monaco, by the way, back in the day. It was just a mad signing. He was a good player, actually. Just very gangly, though, wasn't he? Was a very gangly player.
I'm not sure how I've got an advantage here.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. I thought like maybe that's more... Actually, not really.
I must check my wardrobe for that Jimmy Wan shirt that I have. I didn't know I had.
Yeah. No, John. Sorry, wrong season. Wrong season.
Thing is, I proofed your article on... something very similar on this exact game you're referencing. So I'm trying to think. I I know it's one or the other, and I think I'm going to have to guess.
Yeah, I wouldn't have put his squad number, but there would have been a picture of Jimmy. I don't know if it would have shown his thing me.
Okay, guessing it. Right, it's one or the other.
All right. I don't know why I think this, but I'm going to go 12.
Wow.
I went 24, and I thought 24 before you put them on the board.
Okay.
So
I've definitely seen it was a 1, and I knew it was going to be a... by that logic, I'm sure it was 12 or 19, so I've gone 19.
Oh, all different answers.
Ooh, love that. That's a perfect way. Obviously, it needs to be John or AJ to get the correct answer. We're also joined by John Walk, who said, afternoon, lads. So, thanks to
that is
John.
The actual John Walk.
Yeah, there you go. That looks like him. He's also gone B, which is 19. That is actually correct. It is 19. Oh, so AJ has won. He's also got 19 as well. So well done, Tony.
With an assist from John Walk in the comments.
John Walk there.
So he set me up with the cross, and I have headed it back post.
So perfecto. So AJ, you have won, my friend. But as always, the question, are you going to gamble for a tiebreaker?
I don't have a choice, do I?
No, you got to go in that speed post.
Yeah.
Okay, right, let's do it.
Let's do it then. And I think, sadly, John probably has the big advantage here because he would have probably watched him play. I think he was too, well, Bloomers and I probably were. No, I think we weren't born when he played. But I'm going back.
This sounds good, lads. Really, really looking forward to this.
Yeah. Obviously, JJ, for John or Bloomers to win, they have to get it bang on. They have to get it bang on.
Okay.
And it's on Chris Kouamia. Question more about my lord. Oh, here we go. John is loving it.
No.
He scored against Norwich.
So great for Chris Kouamia. He was an absolute legend. So, AJ, you won't know Chris Kouamia, but Chris Kouamia was a great striker, really good finisher, and he was a really top fan favourite as well. A lot of time for Chris Kouamia.
Your passion for him makes me feel I'm going to lose this at the death.
I don't know what else about him. Just remember him.
Got a good question.
Go on,
question first. But yeah, Chris Kouamia scored at Norwich back in 1992 in a 2-0 win. Neil Thompson actually scored the second goal in that game, but he opened the scoring, Chris. But how many goals did he score for Town in 261 games? Chris Kouamia, my lord, as the chant went, even though I wasn't born when he played for Town, but I know the chant. And he used to do a lot of dances, didn't he, John, back in the days? Do a lot of dances, dance moves.
All right.
There we go. So, yeah, AJ, John and Bloomers have to get a bang on to steal the win.
Okay.
Tony may go and give it a go as well, see if he can get a bang on.
Missed the question. Okay.
How many goals, Chris Kouamia, in 261 game? Yeah, you have to get a bang on. Right. What do you reckon then, boys? AJ, you try as well, see if you can double your points as well.
I'm
going to throw my hat into the ring and kick off. Mainly this only because it's a number that resonates so well with Town. I'm trying to work out what a decent return would be. I'm going to go 78.
78. Ooh, oh, okay. Yeah.
Okay. Not liking this.
I think I've blown it and gone big, but I've gone 91.
Ooh, 91. Okay.
AJ, no. I went 42.
Ooh, 42. Ooh.
So we've gone slightly different ends of the spectrum here, guys.
Yeah. I think
I've blown it. I've gone way too big.
Tony went 92 as well, John. He went high as well. He went 91. He's gone 92. John Walk's gone easy one, that 51. And he's actually, John Walk's actually the closest out of everybody.
I thought you were going to say he's bang on then again.
He's bang on. but no, the correct answer is 64. 64 goals in all competitions. In 261 games. Not bad-ish ratio. Not bad at all. Paul Saunders went 84 later at the... there. Good old Mike with the bucket hat, he went 70 plus. So, Mike, you were close, which is good to see. But there we go. AJ, you won. Well done.
Who came the closest on the tiebreaker?
You pretty much won, I think. No, what did you go for, Loomis?
I went for 78. So,
you're closest. Yeah,
I'll take the moral victory.
You get the point. But AJ, you've won, my friend. So,
thank you.
As a special guest, obviously, we've got a speech to win the strike this week.
Oh, wow. That was a lot of pressure. I'm delighted to win this, but it won't mean anything unless there's 3 points. at the end of tomorrow. That's all we care about, isn't it?
Fair play. That's all we care about, boys. That's all we care about. But well done, AJ, for winning the Derby Day preview special strike. Well done, John Bloomers and Tony, for taking part, and all the listeners as well and the viewers. I'm actually going to bring up this comment from, let me bring him up quickly, from Ian Stocks once again, Bloomers, because he's actually then brought up another bit of more why he's a Town fan.
Oh, so yes, basically, let's hear.
So my brother, older brother supported it, Norwich, and my best friend Dad supports Ipswich. He gave me
his support.
A lot of banter between friends and brothers. And he's also gone, my daughter supports Ipswich. And my daughter's birthday tomorrow. She's going 19. She's going to be 19. So hopefully the boys can get a win for your daughter then, Ian. But yeah, love that story. Love that.
I think this is the perfect time to quickly say mine then. So me and my fiance are getting married next year, which is lovely. She's from Cradley Heath in Birmingham, which is nowhere near Ipswich Norwich whatsoever. She's from the Black Country. And her sister, also from Cradley Heath, went to same university as my fiance in York. And then just after me and my fiance got together, her sister goes, oh, I've got a boyfriend, to which my sister couldn't believe. And they are now 5 years down the line. Within 6 months of them getting together, I finally met the guy, Ewan. Oh, he seems lovely bloke. Met him. Yeah, guess where he's from and who supports. he's from North Walsham, so not quite Norwich, but Norwich season ticket holder, entire family of Norwich fans. And they now have their first apartment, which is a new build just over the road from the Wetherspoons in Norwich, the Queen of Iceni, and their balcony overlooks Carrow Road. And I have stayed many a time now and have to wake up in the morning and look out on that. In fact, last season, before they played their first game of the season, I had to look out over Carrow Road as they were all going for their 12 o'clock kickoff. I can't remember who they played, but all I remember is looking at it and feeling slightly nauseous. There is nowhere on God's green. I mean, I could have stayed there maybe tonight and had an easy one this morning. Mm-hmm. I think there's anywhere in God's green earth I could have woken up on a Saturday morning on Derby Day, open up the windows. Look down and saw about 1,000 Norwich fans outside the Queen of Iceni and have to walk through them in order to get to the away end. not for me, Clive.
No, definitely not. But there we go. John walks in again. He just goes up the town, lads. So, yeah.
Love it, Walkie.
Of course. Yeah. And John Watt, of course, is the record goal scorer in the derby. I think he's got 9 in total. So it's great to have you on. And James is basically gone. Ross, have you passed your theory? Yeah, test yet? Haven't. Let's move on. And let's talk about a big question, boys. And we did this on the pod, AJ, because Heathy stole my idea, but I'll continue it. Who do you reckon is going to be the Derby Day hero? And AJ, so this will be a different to you. I want you to get a hot take. I want you to think of a hot take. What you think during the game can happen, anything, as Bloomers and John share their Derby Day hero. So that's your assignment. Okay. Bloomers, John, who will be the Derby Day hero, do you reckon? And anyone else get in the comments, share your thoughts as well.
So previous Derby Day heroes have already mentioned, I mean, Haynes and Kunyago for that equaliser. Obviously, Tommy Smith for his goal and so nearly Luke Chambers, the ultimate Derby Day hero. But who I think the hero might be tomorrow... I've done a Ross. For the first time this season, I've done a Ross.
Love it.
Because I'm so excited. Vasclav Kladky. I've got a horrible feeling we're going to concede a penalty tomorrow. I have no idea why. This is not based on anything. Our games actually have been very penalty light. In fact, I don't believe I can think of the last time that we
AJ knows the stats. He's got the facts and stats. You know what he'd do.
Both Leeds games.
Leeds is the last one that I can remember off the top of my head when Leif Davis did some karate and after putting the ball into his own net and then gave away a penalty, which Somerville scored. I think that's the last one I can remember, if anyone can do a more recent one than that. Oh no, Rotherham. I wasn't at the Rotherham game. But that was a stoppage time.
You missed?
Of course. Well,
that's a town penalty. We're talking about opposition.
And El Hamidi scored his penalty against Millwall on Valentine's Day. I've got the horrible feat. Yeah, I mean, look, it'd be churlish to say that Norwich have not got any good players because it's completely not true. I mean, Josh Sargent has been one of the best strikers in the Championship this season. I just fear with a home crowd, there's a referee, I can't remember his name, maybe you've got it there. I was listening this morning to another podcast. Sorry, guys, I should be just listening to purely Kings of Anglia podcasts. But the ref that we have is card happy. And that also probably makes me think that he translates into gives a lot of fouls. And, you know, with it being a powder keg atmosphere, I can easily see a penalty. But look, Kladke is, in my eyes, one of the players of the season. Ultimate Davide here if he saves a penalty. Can you imagine? I mean, last season we had our almost winning run bolstered by the fact that Christian Walton saved a penalty away at Bolton, which was right at the start of that insane run. And then we went on to, you know, well, we all know the rest. I've just got this feeling that he's going to put out some heroics because, look, if you're a betting man, and I'm a betting man, I obviously work in betting for my entire life, there will be goals in this one. And I believe both teams will score. In fact, and I'm sorry to say this, Norwich have failed to have never failed to score. Nope, let me say that again. Third time lucky. Norwich have only failed to score once in a derby game this millennium. Now, I don't know how many games that is. I think that's almost about 20, pushing 20. They've only failed to score once. So looking at our recent, obviously, record of scoring and conceding, it's highly likely it'll be both teams to score. That doesn't necessarily mean, though, that Kladke is doing nothing. I mean, you saw his save against Blackburn. You saw his save against Southampton. Two huge saves where if he doesn't do it, you know, we're talking about a completely different outcome going into tomorrow. So he's my Derby Day hero, and let's hope that he proves me right.
It's Matthew Donowa. Probably said that completely wrong. That's Donahue? Donahue. I don't know where I'm getting what I've just said. Last game he reffed was the Victory's game, anyway, was the Wimbledon FA Cup game.
Where and he sent off someone in that game. Remember who that was, John? Be honest, your favourite player, he sent him off against Wimbledon.
Oh, Harry Pell. But 136 yellow cards he's given, two yellow cards. He last Norwich game was the 1-0 defeat at Leeds for Norwich. He only gave three yellow cards in that game. He also reffed the Hull City game for Ipswich back in October. So, yeah, two games. He's he also reffed the 3-1 win for Norwich against Sheffield Wednesday. So, yeah, he's reffed a few games for us this year.
He didn't give a single card by the looks of it in that whole game, which is...
No, he didn't.
It's the only game where he's not given a single card. We've had some very heavy ones. In League One, he's done Bristol Rovers Stevenage, number 10 in that. So it looks like we're swinging from one extreme to another. 9 in Leeds, West Brom. 8 in Birmingham, Swansea. So it doesn't really give us a great indication of what to expect there.
No. While John shares his thoughts on his double day here, I'm going to quickly look back at some other games he's done for Ipswich and see if he's done anything mad.
Yeah,
but yeah, John, double day hero.
I think AJ mentioned it on the main pod earlier on. I think Amari Hutchinson could be the main man tomorrow. I think he'll probably start on the right. I know he started on the left on Monday, but I think he'll start on the right, and I think it could be made for him to have a wonderful game. Whether he's actually the winning goal scorer or just one of the goal scorers, because I'm going to be confident and there might be more than one. But I think Amari might go down folk legend tomorrow because he might be the match, not the match winner, the man of the match. I think it could just be for him. But I wouldn't bet against Sarmiento coming on in the second half and maybe popping up with the third goal. I reckon Brody's going to get one as well. So I'm mixing my my predictions here with the potential stars. But, you know, we have got some dangerous players, haven't we? We've got some exciting players who can make the difference. I hope we start with Broadhead on the left and Amari on the right, because I think both of them can cause some havoc. So I'm going to go for Amari. If I had to choose one, Amari.
I love it. He's only ever reffed another game, this referee. It was the 1-1 draw away at Morecambe back in February 2022. Not a... Wes Burns scored an 86-minute equaliser to get a point.
I was about to say, I have absolutely no memory of that game whatsoever. I tried to purge.
I mean, that was it. That was a dead rubber season, obviously. I'm bringing that word out again. But yeah, that's when that season was pretty much done. Like, McKenna was only in the job for maybe a few months. We had Tyreek Backerson and Macaulay Bond got booked in that game. So there we go. But AJ, you had time to think. I've asked you, bring us a hot take, the biggest of hot takes to happen. What do you reckon?
I had a very early one on this one, and Bloomers took it straight off the bat in terms of the penalty save shout. So I'll come up with something else, and I think that Kiefer Moore is going to score. I think that Kiefer Moore will be a surprise inclusion on the bench. I'm going to have it, late fitness test. He's someone that kind of really prides himself on his fitness, someone that will play through the pain. I remember asking Connor Chaplin about him, and I was at the Blackburn game, and he's saying, he's just come back from having played 120 minutes for the Wales in a really heavy game. He's come back straight into the lineup. So he really prides himself on being a resilient striker. I just have that feeling that I can't see him starting. I think that'll be a real push. But if he could manage maybe even 20 minutes, it doesn't even have to be 20 minutes necessarily, even 10 minutes off the bench, get yourself about, make a difference. I think that a defence that's maybe been a little bit tired out by coming up against Ali Alhamady might not know what to do when Kiefer Moore strolls onto the pitch. So ambitious potentially, but if he's going to be involved, I can definitely see him causing a few problems.
Ross, I'm going to say the opposite to Alex then. My hot take is that Kiefer Moore starts.
Because, there we go. Smoke and mirrors.
Well, I don't think that's necessarily McKenna's style, but I agree with what AJ was saying about Moore being a super fit guy and really strong. If he's not fit enough to start, I don't think he comes on as sub, because if you start with Alhamady and he spends 60 minutes or 65, 70 minutes, whatever, and then you bring on Kiefer Moore and his back goes, can you really afford to bring on a sub who's not fit? You probably would start him, see how he gets on, how long he lasts, whether it's 20 minutes, 40 minutes, whatever. Hopefully it's a good 70 minutes and then Ali can come on and do his thing afterwards. But I think if there's any chance he's going to play and hopefully score, then let's have him in from the onset.
It'd be interesting to... thing is, we have five more games to go. It's not the be-all and end-all this game in terms of, you don't want to bring in a player and cause him real grief to then, screw him up for the rest of the season. And, potentially playoffs if it gets to that. So I do completely agree with you, though, that I just don't see him coming on, because his game sets himself up to be the focal point of the attack for the first however long he lasts. Then you bring on the pace of Alhamady and that more sort of, ball to feet style to try and stretch the defence. Whereas Kiefer's so good at just being that. And I don't want to use this as a derogatory term, because I don't mean it's one, but the old battering ram that George Hurst has been, where, you're almost softening them up for the cavalry to come on. So I just don't see it. But the thing is there's been whispers about the Norwich camp as well, and John Rowe potentially, it's their version of this, where they kind of ruled him out. But there's whispers that, maybe he'll feature, and obviously he scored two goals in the reverse fixture. So it's interesting to hear both managers are going to play this. I don't see it being McKenna's style either, but it wouldn't surprise me if there's some presence of him in this game. And maybe he does start on the bench and then come on. But yeah, I don't see it. Paul just put on YouTube, his original comment was, Clark to score a 25-yard thunder, and I won't say that next bit, and then plant the corner flag in the centre circle. This isn't Galatasaray Fenerbahce, so I don't think Clark will be Graham Souness, but you never know. But yeah, Ali and Omai with the other goals and a 3-0 rout. I mean, I'd take that all day. And then the other person whose name escaped me, thank you. Oh, there was the other one where it said, Connor Chapman, 97-minute penalty. I won't even be able to be in the... I'll be in the concourse if that's the case. If we get a penalty in the 97th minute, I never watched Broadhead's penalty against Port Vale. I was in the concourse, just throwing that out there. So, yeah, I don't know. And I was there, I actually watched Al Hamany's against Bristol City, and wish I hadn't. So...
So there you go. Now you really are banned from watching it then.
Yeah, I'll be straight in the concourse.
I like it, boys. Funny enough, actually, some people may not know this. A little bit of a stat here. Kiefer Moore has actually played in the East Anglian Derby for Ipswich before during his first spell. He came off the bench in the in 2017 in the 1-1 draw. He came on for Freddie Sears. I have to admit, Kiefer didn't look good. It didn't look good at that game.
It's not really backing my argument of him coming off the bench here, but I do want to also point, it's a different circumstance because it was a half time, but he did come off the bench at the Deepdale and score two. Mm-hmm. So if there is the kind of thing of coming up against maybe some tired defenders, I definitely agree in terms of if you want to choose a way round, you want to have him starting and bring Ali on. But I don't necessarily think that it's one that you can totally discard. If it is the other way around, I do think that there are aspects that Kiefer can bring in the latter stages of games.
We shall see, boys. We'll just see. 11:30, which is always a weird time to get the team news and go, oh, team news. But we've gone over the hour mark, boys, but we've got to do predictions. So, AJ, we know yours already. Although, are you changing? Are you rethinking it? Or is that locked in?
It's weird, this, because I've thrown like about four or five different things out, like hypothetical ones. The one I said on the pod was, what was that? I think I had Chaplin to score first, and I might have had Amari for the winner. And I've just said that I think Kiefer Moore's going to come. That was a real hot take doing that. Kiefer Moore coming on and scoring the winner. But I'll go 2-2. I'll stick with that. I do think Connor Chaplin, first goal scorer. I have these pictures in my mind of the traditional Town cutback. Leif Davis setting him up on the edge of the area, takes a touch, rifles it into the corner. That's how I see it playing out.
Love to see it. Well, okay, so a draw. Bloomers, John, what do you reckon? Are we going to finally beat them up the road? Let's start with you, first of all.
I'm going with my heart, Ross, not my head necessarily, because my head's all over the place. I'm going with my heart. I'm going 3-1 Town. And I'm thinking Broadhead. I'm thinking Amari. And I'm thinking Ali Alhamadi will get the third. That's what I'm thinking. 3-1. We'll go one up, they'll equalise, and then we'll win 3-1. That's what I'm feeling. Does it matter who scores? Absolutely not. Could it come off somebody's arse? Absolutely, yes, please. Take it any way, shape, or form. But, you know, wouldn't it be nice? I'm going to put money on that 3-1 and then see what happens, eh?
I'd like to hear it. Mike, who is normally a positive man, and I always love to chat to him, he's gone 4-3 to Nodge. To Norwich. Mike!
What are you doing?
Of course, with a, you know, a very unhappy face.
Reverse psychology.
Yeah, pretty much. Make them think we've defeated. But Bloomers, what do you reckon, my friend?
I'm going to go for heart as well. I can't not go for an Ipswich win. I have to. So 2-1. I do think we're going to go 1-0 down. Just because, again, like maybe that is a hot take. But the thing is, like, you look at the past record and our, you know, the way that we are approaching games at the moment, Blackburn aside, where, to be honest, let's be honest, they probably could easily have got a goal and maybe should have done. You know, we do concede and we'll go 1-0 down and it's going to feel horrendous. But this team come back because they always do. So I've got every faith in them, if we do go 1-0 down, to still get a result. So I'll say we'll go 1-0 down and then 2 second half goals. I don't know who'll get the equaliser. Let's go Chaplin. That'd be nice. And a big sort of gets the ball, runs the centre circle, gives it some fist pumps. And then this is ultimate dreamland stuff. Like, let's say a Sam Morsey winner at our end with about 5 minutes to go, limbs flying all over the shop, like 7 or 8 minutes worth of agony to get past. And then the final whistle goes and just the outpouring from everyone. And that can be the time where it maybe starts to think that this could actually happen. There's so much to go between now and 2:30 tomorrow, let alone the rest of the season. But look, I put my hands up, and I think I said it again before, like on the Bristol City chat, when I said at the end of the West Brom game, oh, this team don't have any bottle. Like, how wrong can one man be in the space of 3 months? They've shown it time and time and time and time again this calendar year, and they're not going to fade away now. And if we go 1-0 down, we can get it back. So 2-1 Ipswich.
I've gone 2-1 as well, Bloomers. And it's pretty much, you've basically done what I've said on the main pod, basically. Connor Chaplin to score. I think I actually went Connor Chapman to score first, and then Norris to equalise, and then Sam Morsey with an absolute screamer to win it and go down as an absolute legend. He's already, you know, top player.
Yeah, he's getting there anyways.
He's getting there already. So, but yeah, 2-1. But yeah, a few other predictions in the chat. Mark Wall's gone 4-2. A lot of goals. Burgess with the first goal, which will be good to see. John Walk, I'm suggesting that a 3-1 victory will help it go down in history. Question mark.
Certainly will.
Yeah, so will. But yeah, oh, dearie me, boys. It's getting closer and closer. Obviously, we've got to sleep first before the game, but that is going to be one hell of a show. But as always, any other business, Bloomers, we'll get to you in a short while because we've got a big announcement and also a big thing that you're doing. But John, any other business from you?
Just want to say what an absolute pleasure it is to support Ipswich Town Football Club, isn't it? Just absolutely brilliant. You know, just you think about the progress we've made over the last 2.5 years, 3 years. Just that's my any other business. I love our club. I love Kevin McKenna. I love his coaching staff. I love the togetherness of the squad. I love the spirit. I love feeling like we all matter, that we're all in it together. And I can't wait for us to keep pushing on, whether that's tomorrow or whether it's later on in the season. But it just feels great to be part of this club, doesn't it?
We love you, John. We love you too, my friend. We do indeed. Paul Saunders went, what a time to be alive. supporting Ipswich Town right now is very true. AJ, any a bit more business from you? You're going to be in a different space to Bloomers and John. Of course, going to be up there in the press box doing the typey-type, getting all the words sorted and watching the game in a different way. But it's still the sort of same feeling in it as, you know, any derby day, you know it's big.
Yeah, definitely is. It's going to be a weird drive over to Carrow Road. And you've got a few of those where, especially when you're driving, you're kind of there with your thoughts and whatever music you've got playing. And there's a lot that goes into that little period. So, I mean, for me, even getting to home games is just over an hour. So it's one of those where your thoughts go everywhere. I started off my drive on the way to Southampton thinking, oh, yeah, they'll be okay. By about half an hour, I was thinking, well, if they lose 2-0, you know, they can come back. It'll be fine. We'll be fine down the line. They'll make it better. So I'm expecting the same tomorrow morning. Yeah. Last thing I'll say, John's shirt collection is glorious. I love that. What a little set you've got behind it.
Look at this white number. Oh, look at that. That is beautiful. That is great.
Definitely get some remakes out of that.
Oh, Bloomers is getting up. He's getting his collection. No. You're starting now, Stefan AJ. You're starting that now, my friend.
You were so enjoying the fact that we got to an hour and then all of a sudden.
That's fine. It's a derby. It's a derby day.
Right. I'll pull out a classic as well.
Oh, there we go.
Oh, wow.
That I wore when I was mascot.
Yeah, there's a great picture. There's a great picture of John. He's actually, you're taller than Romeo's on the van, which is just hilarious. How old were you, like 12 or something?
13. 13. 14,
and you're taller than the player. Romeo.
Yeah.
I love that. But no, that's great. But thanks to everyone who's joined us. 300 plus is still live with us right now. Oh, which is real. Great to see.
Love to see it.
So perfect time, Bloomers, for you to plug a big thing that you're doing this month. There's a big derby game tomorrow, but later this month. Is it 21st of April?
Sunday, London? The 21st of April. That's correct.
Yes. Yeah. London Marathon. Of course. Oh, that's just another thing there. Oh, let me bring it up again. Sorry. AJ and Stu actually run out of words before the season's over. Because, yeah, AJ, I'm sure you're running out of words to describe this team, which is just incredible.
Yeah.
Definitely. But yeah, Bloomers, your time to take the stage, to take the floor.
God bless you.
Plug it out. I'm going to bring up also an opportunity to also donate. But Bloomers, let us know the story. And yeah, you're going to be doing a lot of running very shortly.
I've already been doing a lot of running anyway. in October 2022, I did a very nasty injury playing football and basically destroyed my entire right knee. It's been a long road back. But I'm pretty much there, and to give myself a kick up the backside and raise some money, I'm running the London Marathon on Sunday, the 21st of April. I shall be doing it in an Ipswich Town shirt as well, a customised one, and I will be raising money for the Derby Rimmer MND Foundation. Now, if you're an Ipswich fan listening to this, you probably are already aware of the charity, but if you're not, then let me just give you a very, very quick backstory. Stephen Derby, the former football player, sadly contracted most neurone disease, but has established this charity, which helps not only former football players that have the disease as well, but motor neurone disease sufferers across the country, and doing some amazing work to highlight what goes along with that. The Ipswich Town connection, again, you probably are already aware, but our goal-scoring legend that is Marcus Stewart. John, get the kit that's on your left shoulder. Left shoulder, yeah. That one. Yep. Obviously, that's the kit that Marcus wore so famously in those 2 years when we were in the Premier League. Matty Holland's on the back. Fantastic. So sadly, Marcus now has motor neurone disease as well. And the club has done some amazing work to raise money for the foundation in his name and in his immense, immense honour. And I like to think that I'm trying to help by doing something similar as well. So Ross has very kindly put the link there, and we'll put it out a little bit more. If you're listening, the link is justgiving.com/page.
It's in the description as well. And of this live show, if you're on YouTube, it's on the description as well.
Thank you so much. Yes, justgiving.com/page/Tom-Bloomfield-marathon. I'm really glad to say I've already raised £676. The target was £1,000. We're well on the way to that at the moment. I shall be in the match day programme as well for either the Watford or Middlesbrough game, where there'll be a little about that as well. So thanks to Seb at Ipswich for sorting that out. And I will be in Planet Bloom next week getting my custom Ipswich kit with Bloomers on the back and the Derby River M&D Foundation on the back too. So if you are in London on the 21st and at a loose end, you'll spot me quite easily, because I'll be making some horrendous noises trucking around London. But no, it's going really well. And yeah, I mean, I'm so grateful for the support so far, and I'm so happy to keep it going, because like Ipswich and like Fabio Wardley and the team, and what is literally in the back of the shirts inscribed, I shall be doing my own running towards adversity.
Wow, what a way to end it. Now I've got to do the shambolic outro, which doesn't do it justice. So, well, I've got to talk about that now.
Give those ads, Ross. Go on.
All the ads. Obviously, the first ad is to donate, ladies and gentlemen. Whatever you can, donate to Bloomers.
Only if you can afford to. Like, please. Yeah. Like, any pennies, amazing. Thank you so much.
Definitely, my friend. So, yeah, donate. It'll be in the description. If you're listening to this, we'll be sharing it and stuff like that ahead of all the games. But, yeah, well played, Bloomers, my friend. But, it's been a pleasure to be joined by three fine gentlemen. And all the viewers, we're now, as this stand, 360 people are watching. So it's great to be joined by you all. Thanks to Tony Southgate and the team at Ginger Pickle for letting me use their office in Norwich. I'm crossing the border already. And building up to the game. It's been a great show. John, Bloomers, and AJ, thanks for joining me. Big shout out to our sponsors, Manscaped as well. Use the code KOA to get 20% off and free delivery. Get ready and fresh, ready for the Derby Day, of course. And also follow us on all the socials, on Kings of Anglia, on the YouTubes, on the Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, on the TikTok, AJ, and follow Bloomers, John, and AJ as well on their respective social medias. It's been a great show. Get ready for the game. Enjoy it if you can. If you're not going to the game, follow coverage with us as always, and bring it on. Thanks again for watching. Bye for now.